Hi, and welcome again to Let's Talk Tachlis. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. Before I introduce and talk to you about the podcast we just concluded, I want to really, really thank you for the so many comments, emails, positive criticism, and so much heart that we got back from so many of you for our previous podcast and for the one before. It's really validating the reason why we are doing this podcast. We want to be here for Klal Yisrael. So many parents reached out to us, so many fathers, mothers, so many kids, boys and girls reached out for help, for guidance. And this is really filling up the void that we have in this world, and we're trying to make it the world a better place and a happier place. So really, really thank you for your input and for being such loyal listeners and viewers. As I told you, we just concluded an amazing podcast with a unique human being. You'll get to know Moshe Moskowitz very soon, a person that went through in life so much agony, so much pain, physical and mental, but does not let life stop him for 1 minute. The man is full of life, full of fire, full of positivity, the happiest guy in town, and it's so refreshing to connect with and be in touch with such a person who is taking life and grabbing it and making sure that every day and every minute of his life is positive and productive. So thank you again for joining us and enjoy the podcast. Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Tachlis. Thank you so much for joining us. Today we have again a beautiful, amazing guest. And like I always tell you, our guest, you get to see by the end of the show, during the show, why they're so beautiful and why they're so amazing. But today the word amazing is really, really part of the equation. I have the honor and pleasure to interview my dear friend Moshe Moskowitz. Hello, Moshe.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. Great having you in the studio.
Thank you.
You know why I brought you in here all the way from Lakewood?
I have no idea.
I also don't have an idea. Let's try to make an idea over here.
Let's do it together.
Yes. B'shem Hashem naseh v'natzliach. So Moshe is a very happy, jolly, effective and active human being. But the reason it's a chiddush that Moshe is such an active human being is because Moshe's first half of life was not that active, not that smooth, not that stable. And even though he went through many difficulties, which you'll hear about soon, he's determined to be super duper happy. Is that right?
100%.
Good. So let's cut straight to the chase, and we'll share with our audience who Moshe Moskowitz is. So what's doing?
Everything is great, Baruch Hashem. So I gotta say that you're wrong, actually. My first half of my life has always been happy. I've always been happy.
Thank you for correcting me.
Correct. I always had a happy life, an amazing life. I grew up in an amazing family. I had a fantastic family. So, first of all, thank you so much for being on the show. It's an honor, and it's a beautiful way you're bringing out people to your show. It's very nice to bring out the Klal Yisrael of, to bring out the better of people, to show people what they're all about, and to show people how to make other people better.
Yeah, but why did I have the impression that the first half of your life was not so good? Something just flew by my mind that you had a hard first half of your life.
First half of my life.
Can we say hard but happy? Maybe to correct it.
Challengeable.
Okay. I'll get straight to the point.
So
I did some research, and Moshe was born to his happy and amazing parents.
Correct.
With a small, tiny medical condition to begin with.
Should I interrupt you again?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start a little bit. So Moshe was a happy camper. He was born. And he was in 1988, he was born to a beautiful family. To his father, in Malmö. From, I would say, 1994, his father started getting cellulitis.
Uh-huh.
A lot of hardships, a lot of, he had to give up his job, he had to give up a lot of the financials didn't go so well. So from there a lot of things went, like we would have called it sour.
But downhill.
Downhill. But about Baruch Hashem, in my house, it didn't feel ever downhill. We, Baruch Hashem, was a very happy house. My father, unfortunately, suffered a lot. He really suffered, mamash, a lot. But my father was always a happy person, a real happy person. But he went through surgery after surgery after surgery. So from the feet, and went up to a lot of places to his body. Of course, I went through my Chayder Shiyudin, my elementary years. And everything was nice and dandy. I never felt at home there, what's it called? Unfortunately, my father went to the hospital a lot. So basically, I would consider myself, I'm making it more dramatic, but unfortunately, it's not dramatic. I grew up in a way in the hospital because my father was a lot in the hospital. So it was very, 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 it was a dramatic experience, I guess I will say that. But it was a very happy, an amazing family. My mother never made it feel like a house of, like, a neverdig house. My house was always the most warming house ever. So if you ever ask anybody from the Moskowitz family in Border Park, meaning whoever knew our family, the most open house, the most warmest house ever. My mother always cooked for people in the hospital, my mother cooked for everybody. But my house was always a Pshay Ben Moshe. My house was very...
That's why such products came out from this house.
Yeah, my house was always a Pshay Ben Moshe. Moving up the ladder, like we say, unfortunately, when I was 15, my mother started not feeling well, and we didn't know exactly what's going on. She was very, very, very weak, and we started doing testing and stuff. So she went to the doctor. The doctor diagnosed her with lymphoma in the lymph nodes, and was pretty fast.
Your father was still
my
alive?
My father was still alive. My father was unfortunately the sick one. My mother was still alive also. So my mother was diagnosed Chalamoy Tzikas and Yit Kislev, she passed away. Wow. So back to the discussion in the beginning that you wanted to say in the first part, that Moshe was a kid and with something. So I'll tell you the story. I was, there is a thing, it's called Blount's disease, which the disease is sometimes discovered when you're born with it, or if something could be discovered but later on in certain ages. So it was discovered later on, meaning when you...
How old were you?
I was by age 12.
Oh.
So basically I couldn't have surgery from age 12, because from age 12 to 15, it's a growing spur.
What is this condition?
So sometimes what's called, it's instead of the bones going upwards, it goes sideways.
Like bowleg.
Bowlegged, correct. Sometimes it could be from obesity. Sometimes it could be from this. But me, it was both. So basically, they take the bones, they crack it in half, make it grow again. As I saw online, it takes faster the recovery. But by me, if you did both legs together, it took 4 to 6 months to recovery.
1 minute. You didn't feel anything wrong with your feet.
A wild kid. Right. I was always having a good time. I was always big, chunky boy.
So your medical condition was not obvious to anyone?
It was obvious. But my mother, in a way, said he's having a good time. Nothing is bothering him. But as the time went on, it got worse and worse and worse. So back to the discussion, my mother passed. My mother was diagnosed Chalamoy Tzikas, Yit Kislev, she passed away. That means in 5 weeks, she passed away. So basically, my mother went with all the doctors. My mother, everything, she booked all the surgeries, everything. Everything was beautiful, nice and dandy. And from one minute to the next, everything was taken. Not everything was, my mother was taken.
Oh, so you had to deal with a mother who passed away? Your father was very sick.
Yeah, so.
And your own little Peckle.
So it was way back. It's actually pretty, in a way, pretty scary that I had to go through this. It goes that my mother actually, as you can see, what I told you before, is that a week and a half before she passed away, I was in yeshiva. I didn't even know how sick she was. For some reason, she was very, very weak. She was in the hospital still. She was in the hospital. She actually called the yeshiva phone. And somebody,
why didn't you call your cell phone?
you tell me. Yeah, she would have taken a suitcase with her, right? There were cell phones then, but
they were as big as a payphone.
It didn't have a filter. So basically, she called the public phone.
Wow.
Remember the pebble public phones?
Sure. Yeah. With the dial, probably.
No, not in the dial. What? That was the grandmother's.
Fancy, that's fancy.
she called actually the public phone, and she told me she wants to speak to me. I was like, what's going on? So basically, I took the next Bikkur Cholim bus. Remember Bikkur Cholim buses? I walked in, and she sat herself on the bed. She tells me, she said, Moshe, as you can see, I'm not looking the best, but you're my youngest, and you're my charmer.
A 15-year-old boy with a sick father has to process such a conversation.
Knowing that he's going to have to come up with his own surgeries and
waiting
stuff.
Waiting in the back, the back pocket.
It was not easy, no.
Wow. Hi, let me stop for a minute, please, our interview. I want to talk to you a minute about subscribing to this podcast. Subscribing is not a punishment, it's a treat. We're not going to go to the FBI, we're not going to go to the IRS with it. All we're doing by subscribing, when you subscribe, it takes 1 second to click a button and subscribe. You are making it easy for us to send you right away the podcast as soon as we publish it, as soon as it's ready. Whether on YouTube or on other forms, it takes a second, and that's all it does. And I'm really thinking, how come we have so many tens of thousands of viewers, Baruch Hashem, and we appreciate you all so much, but you only have 1,000 to 1,100 subscribers. So you need a treat, huh? I'm here to announce that whoever will subscribe as of now, you know what? We'll include the previous subscribers also. We're going to raffle about 2 weeks, three weeks after the podcast, we're going to raffle a $100 Amazon gift card for the subscribers. So let's go and do it. We want to be in touch with you. How did you first recover basically from the shiver? How was the shiver?
It's so funny. After leaving my mother's bedside, I met a few close ones, whatever. It's just, everybody says, don't make yourself crazy. She's not going nowhere. She's okay. She's just some pills, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I am. Ain't no whatever, you know. But whatever, I saw the reality. Wow. It's just, ain't easy. It was a lot to process. It was a snowstorm in the Levaya, you know. In the meaning, it was like a snowstorm. Yeah. But
a storm and a snowstorm.
Yeah, but wow. It's not easy, you know. Even these days.
And who was there to give you chizik by the shiva and right after the shiva? Your father wasn't.
To be honest, what's it called? My father was a great father. My father was always there for us, for me. I had my brothers, who are a very tight family. They really are a very tight family. But all these organizations were not around then, right. Actually. It's like, there was no GoFundMes.
GoFundMe, no.
There was no statuses. High Lifeline was around.
Yeah.
They did have these therapists to talk to.
So
but
what
to be honest, what you call this? I wasn't at the moment of focusing of
the grief.
I wasn't focusing as much of the getting the help. I was more focusing on the shock. Because my mother was always there. When I going to yeshiva, coming home, seeing my mother sitting there with supper ready, it was hard to process. It was really hard to process. You have no idea of having fresh food at the table, being asking you how your day was, and having open home all the time. That was hard to process.
Suddenly it all stopped.
It stopped. Wow. That's why when I always hear these stories about mothers and any parent just passing away, I can relate to it and just, and it's not easy.
Wow, it's good.
Even though I have this blockage, I do have this blockage that I can't show emotions about. In a way, you know, when you lose parents, you do have a certain kind of blockage that you can't show that certain emotion anymore. But when I do find a person that loses a parent, I do have a lot of times I take a kid or somebody in the side, I do talk to that kid.
Especially when you had your own medical tackle to deal with.
Yeah, I had to focus on that. I couldn't focus too much on my mother. I couldn't focus too much on... Plus, I lost my grandmother 6 months beforehand, which is her mother, which is why she was also very dear to me.
Wow.
Yeah, I lost two very close people in my life that year.
Unfortunately, we have to continue because we want to hear the rest of the main story.
A lot of main stories.
Yes.
Moving forward, I went through surgery. It was in Mount Sinai. Thanks to the BC Twersky and Division Sereba. That's his name. Yes. What's Division Sereba?
We're not calling him my name anymore. Division Sereba from Eretz Yisrael.
That's correct. Thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. He's a
he helped us. Tzaddik. He helped out my everybody in my family.
Wow.
They were always there for us.
Wow.
Special people.
So they guided you through into the surgery.
Yeah.
Process.
Yes, he got me. Especially, he pushed actually the doctor to make both legs at the same time. Wow. That surgery actually. Nobody wanted to do it. That doctor, he pushed that doctor to actually do it, even though, we'll go on, but that surgery took 13 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so he actually made the doctor do it, both surgeries at one time.
Today, in 13 hours, you conquered the world. You do a lot of stuff
in
13 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
But yeah, he actually made that doctor make both surgeries at one time.
Can you quickly and short describe what the surgery does and what happens right after the surgery? Not the actual physical surgery, you said before.
Should I do it right now on the table?
Yes. By the way, your feet are good, right?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. There's a lot of latest on our plate.
I know, we might make episode two.
So far it's very entertaining, so sadly it's entertaining.
Yeah,
but I know there's happy streaks behind it.
Of course.
So, I read up a little bit. So this surgery is quite a difficult surgery. Besides the amount of time, and like you said, the breaking the bones and
the tibia bone. To be honest, I did not do too much research before I came because
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I like to share with our audience things in an educated way.
Good for you.
So.
My father did have had a heart attack, unfortunately, but he had to have open heart surgery. So in the hospital, there's such a thing that there was social workers, right? So my father, I guess, mentioned to them that he has to have open heart surgery. He didn't know where to put me. So I guess, I don't even know what narcosis was. I didn't even know exactly what happened. I had one brother that had just gotten married. I had one brother that had young children that would take me in, whatever. My father, I guess, got from them...
Recommendations
and stuff that there's a place that's called the New York Foundling Hospital, which is a foundling hospital.
Funding, okay.
Basically, so my father signed me up to go there.
Parked you in?
But he didn't park me in. He could always take me out.
Long term wise.
Yeah, so basically he parked me in. It was a Christian hospital.
Wow.
So so basically a booker from Yeshiva. Knew whatever and
lost his mother as a sick father.
His father's gonna have to go through open heart surgery. He's going to go to the Christian hospital
for a few months,
more than a few months. Ended up being actually 8 months.
Wow.
Basically, arriving there, getting there, a bunch of crosses all over. My father and I better not know. I feel so bad, but he had no choice. It is, but he didn't even see the building, I don't think he even saw it. He saw the building. But I didn't think so. You run over there, getting in there, the only Jew over there, the only kid. Nobody even knew about Judaism, to be honest.
I'm sure then there's all the groups
there's actually one, but one plus, it's a great rehab. They were doing a great rehab set.
There was exercise therapy.
It was great. The therapists over there were great. The doctors over there were great. It was just, you know, a lot of interesting things that a 15-year-old Yiddish bucher not supposed to say.
Supposed to.
I would say that a bucher that 15 and that's supposed to be, I guess, learning, you want to say, in a lot of ways, went from whatever, that went to whatever, yeah.
Were you able to keep a little Yiddishkeit, fill in,
Shabbos? To be honest, I did do as much as I can, but in a way, I was in the year from my mother also, so I actually had Adorama photo around the corner. So I had this very, very wonderful, special lady. I wouldn't give her a shout out because she's going to be very upset about it. But it's a good friend of my mother's, actually. She was part of the human resources over there. She did the, what's it called?
Whatever. Hiring, stuff like this.
Not hiring. She did actually
HR.
Overseas. She was the translator. Not human resources. She translated for everybody over there, meaning people that didn't speak English, spoke on the phone, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So she actually, one, she tried kicking me. Some other people came to pick me up once a day to Dalman Mechasei Kaddish, maybe once a day, which I didn't want to go either. So I tried going to touch
that. How are you mobilizing?
No, so I had a special way to coming out of bed.
Wow.
I had a special, bathroom to go. But yeah, they created a bathroom special for me.
And I believe in this process, there's a lot of weights on your.
Yeah, it's external. It's called external fixators. It's very popular. People should know. People know about that.
So wow, it's an amazing part that this woman, some other people in Adorama helped you keep the Yuletzat and the Kaddish process for your mother going, even though you're in such a place. I'm sure that the difference between Chol and Kodesh being there and coming out was also really
it was a very nice relief coming out of the rehab center, what's it called? Or the phone, like every day, if I was in the mood of going. It was not easy because I had no patience either way.
And it's also physically very hard.
Yeah, plus what's it called? The situation with my father was not getting better. He had the open heart surgery, and in the middle of the open heart surgery, he actually had a stroke. So it was actually kind of a knockdown for me, also like getting down. So knowing my father suffering in the hospital like that, not knowing that he's going to survive or not, that to actually keep him, sounds very graphical, but view discretion is advised, that actually keep him open for 2 weeks and giving internal medicine. So they didn't even know what's going to be with him. So me knowing what's going on with my father.
You were updated, I guess.
I was updated, of course. They had to be open with me because, you know, it's enough hiding. You know, a person, I'm trying to fight for myself in the year from my mother. Know my father, I don't even know what's going to be. And just pushing me out to Mincha every day is just a drop down in all kinds of ways. Wow. It was just beyond, like, so much in my head. Wow. And me fighting in therapy every day, just getting better, it's just... It was mamasha. I was, like,
Gehenim?
Really...
Can we say Gehenim on this world?
Huh?
Can we say Gehenim on this world?
It's Gehenim in this world. But looking, it's like we're going to go to the end. It's just... Yeah, it's going back. It's just... Really, waking up every morning, just feeling the heaviness, like what's going to be with Tati. I just lost mommy. Like, where is Tati? I want to see him already. Like, I want to see him, okay.
Why doesn't he come to visit me?
Yeah, 100%. It's a very lost feeling. That you can't turn to any of your parents. It's very lost. It's like basically in a way you lost both of your parents.
And today, if something like this was, Chas v'Shalom, happened to someone, there would be organizations coming with guitars.
Listen,
singers.
I did have Chai Lifeline come bring me every day supper. But to be honest, I was so not in the mood of no clowns, no nothing. I was actually not that kind of patient. I was the kind of patient that people came to visit and made them feel like the patient.
Wow.
Actually,
I was very good at that.
I was not the person like making people feel like I'm down.
Wow.
Even with my father and everything, I really did not show it.
I want to give a special shout out and thank you for one of the hosts of this podcast. Brooklyn Square is where all these beautiful Let's Talk Tachlis podcasts take place and are being filmed. And I feel that being in Brooklyn Square is a treat for me and for all the tenants that are here, because being in Brooklyn Square brings you into such a pleasant and happy and positive work environment. You get to meet so many people, all types, all levels, all professions, And there's shuls in the building, there's gyms in the building, there's restaurants in the building. It's such a vibrant, happy, positive place. And when you spend your day between positive people around, surrounded by positive walls, then hopefully you produce positive podcasts as well. So my big thank you to Brooklyn Square. So what happened to Maisa with your father afterwards, after this sad period of being in between stroke and heart
connection? Baruch Hashem, he fought it through. And he survived.
Wow.
And I was in the rehab center for another good 4 months after. And things went on continue. I kept on and I went for it. And after 8 months, we went back to the doctor. Doctor checked through the situation.
X-rays
and everything. So he came out saying, my English name is Jacob. So as Jacob, got some sad news and good news. I was like,
what do you want first?
I was like, what do you want first? I was like, let's go. Like, shoot me, whatever. Like, tell me what's going on. Like, straight to the point. Like, one foot came out okay, but you're going to have to go for like intense therapy no matter what it takes. The other foot, we have to redo the surgery.
I'm like, no way.
I'm like, say what?
No way.
He's like, yes, you have to redo the surgery. I was like, this is after 39 surgery? He's like, yeah.
Maybe his license should be revoked.
He actually was an old doctor. So
no, I'm just kidding.
I told him he lost his glasses when he did it. So I was like,
this is not funny.
Yeah, it's not funny.
Wow.
So basically what happens, the process is after that, is that after you come out of external fixating, which is also a surgery, about 2 hour surgery, but I'm not going to count that in my surgeries, but you can count it in the surgery, no problem. No problem, let's go.
On the house.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to go into a body cast, which goes from your ankle up to your waist.
Wow, 6 weeks. And after, not a picnic.
No. I wish I was able to go to a picnic, but after that, you go back to go back to the doctor, and then he checks it out again, and 2 weeks ago.
It's one of the easy surgeries, right?
Yeah, very easy. Yeah. It's just, of course. Then after that, you just you take 2 weeks, and I guess you go on to the surgery again. A funny joke, backtrack. While I was in this cast, I was actually playing Kippur, but I was out in Flatbush. After Yom Kippur, I went down the stairs. It was on the third floor. I was pushing myself down from the waist down the stairs this week.
With?
Yeah, that's the only way to push yourself down in a body cast. So I came down, and I guess I had a small argument with my one older brother than me. And it's like, and he got his back, I'll never forget, his back got stuck in the door. I was like, yes, good for you. A second later, I walk out the door. You know, there's a small step like that, going to the door. I walk out the door, I was like, don't you ever chat to your brother, Matthew Yom Kippur? Don't you ever bother your brother, Matthew Yom Kippur? I walk out the door, I tripped over the door, I flipped with my cast.
No.
I landed into the garden.
No.
See over here? See this mark over here?
Oh my.
I got like 17 stitches. I ended up like that, like this.
Why is she embarrassing me? Hello?
It was funny, actually.
You're embarrassing me.
I broke my hand over here and over here, so I walked out of the mountains with a cast from here to here
plus,
with stitches.
Plus
my
body
cast.
And you're laughing.
Yeah, of course. You ever saw the bubble of play? You ever saw the Gordon from Prague?
Yeah.
Basically, I looked like that. It was actually, walked out with a cane. Like that. I had to go in the taxi, in the back seat. I traveled around. I had to take a taxi. I took the whole back seat.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
that was the story. So then she ever checked anybody, must say, okay, but.
Okay, yeah, it's the wrong time
so
to check.
Exactly. So that's the story.
Wow.
So moving forward, did the surgery again, the external fixators and everything. I think, I don't remember where I went after that. So I don't want to say. I think I went to, and back to the rehab center, whoever came to visit me was amazing people.
You went to the same place?
No. I'm remembering. You're saying about chizik. People come and give you chizik. But rehab center, I had, what's it called? Mrs. The lady that came to take care of me.
Yeah, I'm going to say her name or not.
I was about to say it, but I'm not going to say it. See?
Okay.
No, so I'm saying, what's it called? I had my brother come, my one brother older than me come to me to stay for Shabbos every week. I had Mr. Rabbi Landau from Avenue L came to learn with me every single Thursday. He tried his best to learn with me. Wow. Did I listen? I had a cousin of mine actually that actually tried also learn with me a little bit.
But they tried. Him.
Also had what's that called? I actually one of my aunts. She didn't want me to wash my laundry in that place, so she washed my laundry every single week, water back and forth. Actually, it's a very fun. You want to hear a funny story? One of my friends actually. He knew I liked the way his mother does a sesame chicken. They counted my calories over there, so he smuggled in the sesame chicken to bring it in every week.
Wow.
Yeah, I also had friends of mine from Williamsburg. They walked over. They walked from Yeshiva. Walked over every single Shabbos to visit me from Williamsburg through the bridge.
I'm happy to hear some.
The family. The family was amazing.
In this place.
And I had this one special person, which is always till today's days, which is actually my brother's uncle, which is his real uncle, which is not even my uncle. He took me under his wings till today's days.
Wow.
And takes care of me like a father and uncle. Even I wouldn't have been here right now without him. So that's I have special people in my life. I cannot
We have him for the next podcast?
Yes, you should. Exactly.
Bring him on.
He actually walked me down the harbor, my chasana. So yeah, that's how special he is. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is how I was. That was another. This whole podcast is like, well, we need to have 6 podcasts.
Yes.
It's the first time me coming out and say like, people know me as like, fired up.
Wow.
But this is the first time hearing the mellow Moshi. But yeah, I'm saying.
Wow, so he fell, he had, then the thing was removed, the full body.
The full body.
He made a second surgery.
That was actually, the third or fourth.
When did he stop counting surgeries?
I stopped counting. I think a total was 13 surgeries. So let's go move on.
I didn't hear much about your father's petir, eh?
No, that's going to be in a second. So I'm saying, interesting story. I went to one of the other surgeries happened. Right. I actually thought I'm finally done with going through surgeries. Uh-huh. I was in Skvir for Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, went to the Rebbe, eventually get to Manshur. On the way home to my brother, I was walking with my cane because I was able to do weight bearing already my whole entire weight. I said, do weight bearing, it'll be good. On the way, I was walking through a shortcut. In the middle, I hear like a boom. I'm like, what's happening there? My whole entire foot cracked. But was that one of my pins I hear crack and I fell down. I was like almost collapsed. I couldn't pick myself back up. By the middle, I picked myself back up.
While walking?
While I'm walking. I ride my brother. I see my whole entire foot swollen. Boom. So I called the doctor emergency. After you have to go back, a whole entire pin went into the place. We had to redo surgery again. Same thing happened.
Tell me, are you a troublemaker?
If I'm a troublemaker? Oh, I saw that question coming up. If I'm a troublemaker, in which kind? I said that question is going to have to be put in.
In sequence.
Yes.
I think why are you attracting so much trouble? I think you like it.
I love it. God loves giving me trouble, huh?
Because you handle it very well.
Yeah.
You do the koiches along with the trouble.
I think you should stop already, right? No, anyway. Also this one. This is beyond. I finished surgery one yontif, I was sickest. I finished surgery. It is like 2 days before sickest. I got a headache to come home. My best friend, one of my very close friends, stayed with me till sickest to recover. Uh-huh. I was able to go home, but I had to do a taxi to come home in sickest. After the surgery, in sickest, I came home. Second day sickest, it got swollen like crazy. I had to go back and do another surgery. It's
wow.
Like, went back and forth, and that's how I went.
The same doctor did most of the surgeries?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're...
It was crazy infected.
Wow.
Yes, Baruch Hashem, I'll never forget this. After all the surgeries, we're not going to go through all the surgeries. I think we spoke enough about surgeries.
Yes.
After all surgeries, till today's days, I don't think I admitted it on camera. Maybe my close ones know about this. Everybody knows me as the biggest dancer, but chasana dancing and like doing.
Let's see a little dance. Let's
soon, see. Soon after that, right? It's speed, I can't.
Uh-huh.
So, everybody knows me as doing the moves on the floor, which is, I love it. Dancing is my thing. Because all the damage of the surgeries, I couldn't move my ankle. Wow. I couldn't move my ankle. I went for therapy.
Everything was done.
I couldn't attend therapy. Everything. I said, the only way I'll be able to move my ankle Well, we threw a brace. They come out with this brace. They said, I can make you any kind of color of the brace. Threw a Yankee brace. I was a huge Yankee fan, which I'm still am. But I was threw a Yankee brace or any kind of brace. Like you could do anything. But you'll have to come back and just do it every few because you just adjusted. I'm like, okay. They gave me the first brace. Walking out of there, I said to myself, I am not going to ever wear a brace because I need to wear nice shoes. This is me. I cannot. This is not me.
Oh, yeah, they look good.
So I was like, this is not me. So I remember that the following morning, I took upon myself, I'm going to do the therapy on my own. I know all the techniques, all everything. My father had in the backyard, had, you remember those middle steps in Borough Park?
The rusty middle steps.
But those middle steps, I broke my bones every single morning. It was probably for 4 to 6 months. Broke it. Till I finally got a little movement. Broken more. I went back to therapy. I went to the main therapist. I was like, how much movement do I have? He says, you have a little. He's like, how did you do this? You have 11. I'm like, can I get it more? It's like, if you did it till now, you could push it more. I pushed myself even harder and harder. Till today's days, I only have 28% movement at my ankle.
Capacity.
It's like, I'm just saying, that's wow. All. I'm just saying how. When a person puts his mind to it, there's nothing more I can do. It's just, that's how it was. I said, I'm not going to wear a brace.
Wow.
And that's another crazy story that No surgeries.
Okay.
Could be this more, I don't know. But I'm not going to search on Google anymore. No. So I'm saying, the first time I was able to get okay to start walking with my ankle, everything, I went out of yeshiva. I went back to yeshiva a little bit. I decided to start walking from my first challenge from yeshiva, 51st Street, till Seagate, back and forth nonstop.
I guess yeshiva was a few blocks away from
Seagate.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, 51st Street till Seagate, back and forth. I walked together with my friends.
Hello.
Yeah, it was a challenge. That was the first challenge I ever did.
You're talking about 100 blocks.
I don't know how long it is, but I did that.
55th Street in Borough Park.
Borough Park to Seagate. Back and forth.
Back and forth?
Back and forth.
Wow.
It took me about 2.5, 3 hours.
Don't challenge me to do it today.
Just do it, yeah, do it. We walked up the steps before, yeah, we did it.
Not happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy, yeah.
Your willpower is beyond description. Sadly, I want to go back a minute to your father.
My father?
Yes, yeah. Your father. Your tired, dear father. And you told me he survived, he got better after the...
Yeah, my father was he survived, he fought through everything, walked us through it. My father was just one of a kind. My father,
and what happened?
My father kept on suffering, unfortunately. My father kept on going through a lot. My father went through surgery after surgery, my mother passed away. He went through everything. My father went through in the upper numbers of surgeries.
Upper
D's.
Wow.
The upper teens.
It's
like
crazy.
Really.
Because we know what each surgery takes. The pain, the suffering, the preparation, the recovery.
No, but the funniest part after surgery, Hashem tested me again. It's like also...
I'm stopping a minute the podcast to inform you again that we have a brand new website, letstalktachles.com. The website is made for you to engage with the show. You can write your comments. You can suggest guests that you think will be great. You can also come up with ideas. You can tell us what you liked, what you didn't like in our podcast. I hope you liked most of the things. And you can always watch or share with your friends to watch it without YouTube or an audio version only. So go to letstalktachles.com and enjoy it.
I remember I wanted to celebrate also with my surgery. I wanted to go ice skating. My brother's brother-in-law, which is a very close friend of mine, wanted to go ice skating. One was the Shabbos. We decided to go ice skating. We arrived over there with Floyd Benefield. You know Floyd Benefield? You're
sure.
Part of it, right?
That's the Queens.
Yeah, not Queens. They're by the Marine Park Bridge.
Yes,
Queens.
Marine Park.
Long Island.
After the belt.
Yeah, correct. So we decided we had to go. We arrived there. There's no skates. So you know what's Bukhari. You know, everybody likes to have a little fun. So we went into the car. There's a runway over there, right? So he started going a little fast. So basically, he went a little fast. There's a turning, there's one turning thingy over there. So I started screaming his name. And while screaming his name, we started going a little upwards. We flipped over 7 times. We ended up somewhere in the bushes. And I know one thing, I woke up to that song from Shlomi Gittin. Who is Baruch Hu Yisrael Chol Boi Chuvah? Exactly. So that's something Hashem said. Like, yeah, you want peace and next, right?
Wow.
So God, peace came down. I remember him calling his father. His father, the Tzula member. My brother's actually in Las Vegas. He did actually jewelry then. He arrived back to town with a total lost car. So I'm saying, he called his father. And his father asked, because I was a Tzula member. My brother's really the Tzula member. He's like, where are you? He's like, we're here waiting for you by the curb. He's like, where's the car? There. So police came out saying that we flew 28 feet in the air. We flipped over 7 times. We ended up stopping like half a mile off the road.
Oh my
goodness. So yeah, the car was totaled, of course. So back to my father.
I'm glad you were not totaled.
Yeah, back
almost.
Huh?
How's it sure?
No, I'm not totaled.
No, it sounds like the situation was mamash.
Yeah.
High risk, let's call it.
For my mother, I guess I take the Chnuzas Archim and everything else.
Uh-huh.
My father, I think the smile equals plus, 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 plus.
Equals Moshe.
And it's just, it's amazing.
Wow.
He just keep on doing it.
And I know that he's not alive anymore.
No, so he's not.
How much after the situation approximately did he?
My father passed away 10 years after my mother.
Uh-huh. So you had a father for
quite
a while.
I was 26. Uh-huh. My father was also very interesting the way he passed away. My father passed away. I was there by the final moments. I was there Shabbos. It was actually very, my father knew a whole entire Shabbos that he's going to die Matzah Shabbos. He kept on saying, Matzah Shabbos, I'm going to die. Matzah Shabbos, I'm going to die. We kept on telling me, my brother, I'm talking about what you're talking about. It's funny, he went into cardiac arrest and he came back from cardiac arrest. He was recovering from cardiac arrest. He was doing so well. He was in Mount Sinai. And so basically back to Shabbos, he kept on saying, Matzah Shabbos, I'm going. Then moving forward, we just didn't see it happening. But Shabbos by night, he was eating everything so schmack, the whole entire Friday night meal. He kept on eating so beautifully. So he kept him by the soup. He called me over, Moshe, come here, in Yiddish. But
you can say Yiddish.
No, it's okay. Come here for your viewers. I don't know.
My viewers are Yiddish speaking.
So maybe you'll put translation on the bottom.
Huh?
So he kept on saying, he told Moshe, come here. Come over. He says, What's the soif of Tavis from Kim Alucha Vitzavalach? I was like, how do you say soup in Yiddish? I'm like, Tati Yoch. He's like, Tati, what's the soif of Tavis from Yoch? I'm like, Tati. How should I know? We don't even listen. He's like, Kima lucha v'savalach, Matzah Shabbos ga'ich v'ndu. I'm like, okay, Tati, I don't think it's happening, but... So, that's the way he told me. Then Friday night, we had to go down for x-rays, and he basically, by... Basically, he stopped over there. He said goodbye. He made sure to say thankful for all the Heinek Lechab, thankful to Hashem he is. We just saw the moment happening. Then Matzah Shabbos, that's also such a stressful moment. I was like, okay, I went back to the apartment. I went to grab a cigarette. So stressful. Like, was such a... I came back upstairs and I was like, I asked the nurse, like, where's my father? I went downstairs to Dallas. She's like, something bugged me. I came downstairs. My brother's downstairs. Like, he missed me. Tati's dying. I'm like, what do you mean? They kept on pumping and pumping. So basically, watching him die, to me, was like... Yeah, seeing your father die in front of your eyes is ain't easy. And that's something... Yeah!
Big list.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, how did you... I'm sure it affected you. It maybe brought up a lot of the past pain.
That is some... Losing my father brought up the loss of my mother and father together. Because I didn't... I couldn't handle it in a way.
Wow.
Because with my mother, I couldn't recover 100%. And I had my father also almost dead. So I couldn't handle it over there 100%.
Wow.
My father, I lost my father and mother again. So I had like a double fight.
Wow.
So I didn't know. My father handled it, whatever.
Can I ask how did it affect you? Did it have a... Sure didn't have a happy effect on you, a positive effect.
Not at all, no.
Knowing you, maybe you started dancing then, no?
No, I didn't. I mean, it is. There was some jokey moments, but...
How did you handle it?
I didn't handle it.
You're here.
No, I didn't handle it the healthy way. Wow. I didn't.
Who helped you get out emotionally of these? What happened afterwards? Who helped you get out of it? How did you continue life? That's crazy. The list is only growing so far.
Who helped me get out of the situation, my father is saying?
After getting such a hit, still waking up your mother's memories and her death.
It's just I came into work. You didn't do me as I were. I'm working, so.
You're working?
Yeah.
So for the audience, Moshe is a very famous, beloved...
Employee
Super Plus in the famous Gourmet Glatt chain. Mine. I still remember you in Borough Park. That's today, today is in Tom's River, Lakewood. But I remember you talking. When did you... About that time, you joined Gourmet Glatt? Like, you were able to take a job?
I was a gold. I've been Gourmet Glatt for almost 12 years.
So when did you start working Gourmet Glatt? At that time, approximately?
No, before.
Oh, before? I didn't know that. Did you know the timing? I didn't know you were working there.
I don't know the timing exactly. It's too
long. So how does Gourmet Glatt add to this story? Because I know that...
Gourmet Glatt adds to the story. Gourmet Glatt adds to every story. They're the most amazing company to work for.
Oh, good.
The support
they've just given, got a good plug.
The support they've given... I'm not trying to get nothing out of them. The support they've given to me and my family all these years is just way to the sky. Oh. Everybody should line up and try to get a job over there.
Okay.
No, seriously. It's just amazing company.
And you needed all the support in the world.
With all my emotions, they are. It's just truthful and amazing company.
Wow. I'm so happy for you that Hashem gave you this.
Yeah,
this.
You can say that again.
Wow. Yeah. Big gift from Leibishter.
They gave me a huge gift.
And so I guess the people over there started to help you and get encouraged.
No, so what happened was I kept on them coming into work and... My first thing is, I'll start like this. I'll continue that in a few minutes, but I'll start like this. When my father passed away, I never really enjoyed alcohol, but I never drank alcohol. My friends drink alcohol, but I get Aishim and everything. I was actually natural happy in a way, but when my father passed away, I just needed something to block my pain. I just really needed something to block my pain. I thought, but alcohol is going to make me more unhappy, like I'm more of a mellow mood. But so basically, as I could go back to pictures when I sat Shiva, there's a bottle of Glenlivet or vodka next to me sitting over here, and I just sitting over there and just trying to block myself.
Magically,
just remove my pain. But of course it didn't, but I continued drinking because it really numbed me. It really did numb me. So basically, that was my tool. And but it really did not do anything. Crazy for me. How? I just don't want to ever forget coming home from work every single day. My wife was sleeping, my kids were sleeping. I would just go and just take a 7-ounce cup of vodka or even two, or just drink myself to sleep, or not even sleep, but just go and drink and just take a walk around the block. Feel like the biggest junkie from Ocean Parkway walking around and just feel like numb and just don't know what to do with myself. And I was mamash lost and just really... I just did not know what to do with myself.
You kept your job while you were...
Kept my job, but it did... So back to this down moment, the only person that I shared my moments with was, I think it was my workmate, which is, I don't mind sharing his name, is Ari Chaimovich. You know Ari Chaimovich?
Sure.
So yeah, I shared my down moments a little with him.
The famous video producer.
He I shared my moments with, but... Shashi Segedin, which is my manager, then he's the one that really saw it in me. He's the one that really saw it in me. And he's the one that pushed me to go to therapy. And me, I said, what's it called? Me going to therapy. I'm like, ugh, what? I don't need it, blah, blah, blah. I was like, what's about the funding and stuff? Like, right now, it's not the time. I don't think I'm going to be doing this. He's like, don't worry, I'll get you the appointment with Hawaiian Bakery staff, staff, staff.
He is staff.
So basically, he got me an appointment with Hawaiian Bakery. But it's funny, I never ever mentioned to Hawaiian Bakery about my addiction to alcohol. I spoke to him even before I got into the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I spoke to him a long time. Basically, so...
So they hooked you up with him.
And basically, I went to a therapy. There was a few therapies that I had to do by
sessions.
Him. Session. And I was there for a year. I was there for a year therapy.
Wow.
But to be honest, I did not know how much I had in me and how much pain I've caused to myself throughout all the years from my surgeries.
You didn't cause it.
Meaning that cause. How much I've bottled up in me.
Right.
And how much I've not spoken to anybody about it. And how much I had to speak to somebody about it. And how therapy is important to me. And how therapy is important to anybody. I'm not here to promote, make anybody say, Dita's guy, you have to go with therapy. I'm just saying, anybody with such a problem, anybody that's going through a hospital stay, a dramatic mother loss, or people that are blocking their pains
emotions.
Or emotions, like people think they're better than anything. It's not easy what you're going through, but who am I to tell you that you need therapy? Like, it's not easy for me to tell you that, but I personally, I did not know how much I had bottled up inside. Even though I'm an open book, I'm a real open book. I say it the way it is, but me personally, when I had bottled up inside, I never knew I have so much bottled up inside.
Oh, wow.
But the Mordechai Weinberger did with me is just amazing.
Wow. Obviously, it was amazing. We see the results right now.
Yeah. And I still have therapists that I go to. I still work on myself daily. I don't need to turn to somebody, I have a therapist.
You know, they say the proof
I'm
is
not trying to say his name.
They say the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, correct.
We have good proof.
Yeah.
It's what a daily, flavor? What
I'm
the
not,
flavor?
I'm not perfect at all. It's a daily struggle. I'm not
wow.
perfect at all.
Wow.
I don't stop working. And wow. it's a daily
struggle. So let's hear some... I always say that the Let's Talk Tachlis family is not here to hear sad things. We're here to learn, to grow.
No, we got
to
finish
to
off with
better
the other
people.
Stories.
Exactly. So first, which story do you want to finish?
We got to finish off with the other story. It says, which people should learn out, that means PTSD. With Shamshi.
Yeah.
What's it called? Going back to Mordechai Weinberger.
Yes.
Basically, I was on the way home from a Kiddush Shabbos, 42nd and 13. I'm like, it's Shabbos, Shamshi, how are you? We're there for like about 4 minutes, 3 minutes having a conversation. I gave him a hug. I tell him, Shamshi, see you tonight, because the store was open. Shabbos, I'm like, see you tonight. Second, gave him a hug. A whole building went up in flames and explosion. Shamshi goes flying with his son. I get hit with a stone, and I don't see Shamshi. I start screaming, Shamshi. I can't see nothing. In the middle, I see Shamshi coming out of the rubble, him hopping out. And I don't know what's going on. I'm frozen. Shamshi's hopping. I don't see what's going on. Shamshi's laying down on the ground. I start screaming, Hatsula. In the meantime, I see Shamshi on the floor. One person is running to grab a gargle because he's got to do a tourniquet. I turn around. I see viewer's pressures advised. I see an ankle. I don't know if anybody saw pictures ever of the Boston bombing. People running around without limbs and stuff. But I see Shamshi's foot hanging. It was a scene that I've never thought I'm ever going to see. I don't think anybody should ever see this in his life.
And it happened with one of your closest friends.
Happened to the closest person.
That helped me through
my father's... I go through my father's therapy, and seeing him on the floor, and him almost, him out of breath, saying Moshi on the floor. What I hear is, my brother actually told me a few weeks ago in the restaurant, it says that the member on the scene saw me over there, he saw me, I was mamash paused like a freeze when he arrived, didn't even know that I was part of the whole scene. I had a swollen ankle and everything else.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, two people died in that explosion.
Yeah, I was going to say to the audience that this was one of the very famous explosions in Borough Park. And some people even died in this.
And then I had to go back to Monty Weinberger for a special therapy. It's called EMDR therapy. It's emotion therapy. People use it for mental health. People use it for... People for the army uses it when they come back from the army. They use it for emotion
trauma.
Emotion trauma.
Wow.
But my wife, unfortunately, I don't know if she's going to like when I say it, but she went through with this. I woke up with nightmares. You have no idea what this knows. It's called survivor's guilt. I kept on telling Mati, why wasn't I on the floor? Why wasn't I the one on the floor losing the ankle? Why was it Shamshi? Shamshi should have never been the one on the floor. The crying that went on in that office, I was like, no, Shamshi should not be in the hospital right now. I should be the one in the hospital. This is not fair. This is not fair. And it went on for months.
Wow.
Waking up from nightmares, sleeping only maybe 1 hour a night, half hour, then I had to go to work. This was just way beyond. But Baruch Hashem, we're here right now, and Shamshi is walking on 2 feet.
Wow.
And we're here.
I would call you an archaeology, you know? The more you dig, the more you find. The more you learn, the more you discover. How was your Amina through all these very difficult times?
As Bukhar, like I said,
I think you would divide it in three big periods in your life. Bukhar, mother passing away, surgery.
No.
I'm talking in the suffering, yes.
And
then you had your father's time, and then you had started to finally go to therapy and get better. Yeah, this third trauma, I mean, this...
I'll tell you the truth. It's a very interesting, very deep question. It's not a deep question. It's asking a person that really...
I hope you're not upset that I'm asking.
No, I'm not upset.
On the air.
I can forward it in a minute if I want to. But Amina, I have a few different ways of Amina. Okay, which part do you want to know first?
We all believe that the Eibishter Hashem is running the world, and
correct,
whatever happens to us happens by Him.
Totally.
And we also believe that whatever happens to us is to the good. And how does a human being suffering so much say to himself, whatever happens and happened to me?
Listen, als Bucher and als everything, meaning the surgery that went through, you're saying, that's something that took a long time to take in. And realize that Hashem is actually the one that is actually the
running
king.
Running the show.
Because I was actually having a karate match with him. I'm being honest.
Yes.
I'm not surprised. It was actually not easy to accept that part. I had to go through a lot of tough punches from him to say, okay, I love you. Okay, stop. Gindig is gindig. Enough is enough. Mm. But I still didn't learn my lesson, to be honest. But I think my smile pushed it through, and I think after all, he came through in a big way.
Listen, there's no better proof in the world than the way you are now, the way you are today.
But me telling you about Amina is gonna be, I think me waking up every morning, starting my morning, I find different kind of ways to find Hashem. I really do. I find different kind of ways to say good morning to Hashem.
Wow.
I daven every day. After davening, I search different kind of things to find Hashem.
And you're finding Him.
I'm finding Him in different ways. Because I may sound heebie-jeebie, but no. Because I went through so much, I learned to connect Him a different kind of way. I can't say it to the audience because it's too much for them to handle.
No, that's not the goal.
But for me personally...
The goal is to hear the summary message. People are listening and they...
Well, my Yiddish guide-wise, what's it called? I learned a lesson after my father passed away. I did work in my Yiddish guide in a big, big way after my father passed away. And that built my Amina a lot. I got connected to one of you people. Yeah, so I did. And maybe that ended a little kind of way in a different kind of way, but he helped me work on my Amina a lot of ways.
Wow. Yes,
without
a minute we can survive.
100%.
And I didn't expect such a loaded conversation, because I see you every once in a while, and the smile and the beaming happiness coming out of you does not match the story you just said. And I'm really here to salute. I'll do an actual salute to you for being so strong and so open about what happened to you and about your feelings and about some of your downfalls. And I think you are a major, amazing example for people to learn from you how to fight and not let life bring you down. And this is the biggest message I think that this podcast can bring to the viewers.
100%.
So what do you want to say to conclude, Moshe?
Conclude it? I'll say one thing before I conclude it. But if you're asking about a minute, I think the biggest part of a minute, and the biggest part of a minute that you can see in Kalias at all, is that you say every single, that's what I thought. First of all, I've learned it with my Charissa, and I've learned it by, what's it called, by Parshas Bashalach, by Shabbat Shira, that you, and we say it every single day, by as you should, right? Every, what's it called? You say the Pusik Zekari Bavai, right? Klal Yisrael, when they walked out of Mitzrayim, right? They all had the option, what's it called, to think Hashem is like who, in a way, who is he, right? Who, like, they were all able to look back on all the blood that Hashem shattered, all the kids, all the blood that went on over there in Mitzrayim. But they all went on Mitzrayim, they all got to the Yamsuf, and they said, Zekari Vanvai, you are Hashem, you are the sins of Hashem, you are God, no matter what, we're not going back. We are yours, you are mine. Yes. Right?
And you're taking along these words.
We're taking along these words.
And they guide you and lead you. Wow.
That's the way we can. That's the way.
And Vanvai is more than a minute. Vanvai is meaning of beautifying. Not only I believe in Hashem, I also consider him a beautiful and a nice mashpia and manhego on me.
That's correct.
Wow. It's a big madrage to upgrade the minute, to bring it above regular
minute. We need to do the same praise to Hashem, even though we go through challenges.
Not everyone can, but you, Baruch Hashem, have the koiches. I want to really thank you for coming. And I know it wasn't easy. I assume it wasn't easy, some of the questions and the answers we flushed over here. But I see a big smile on your face. So it makes me a little bit relieved from the guilt I have for interviewing you and bringing everything up. And I really want to thank you. And I want to beg you to continue exactly what you're doing and please stay out of trouble.
No, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here with you. And I hope people will take something good out of this. Not a hope, people will definitely take good out of this. And
Give me a 30-second message for the audience.
Guys, you be you, I'll be me. Keep on smiling. And I hope you guys appreciate this interview. And I thank Mr. Blumenfeld for this interview. And there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, even though it doesn't look so bright right now. Just put on a lighter and let it shine.